Greet you all in Jesus' name again. It's hard to believe that we are at the end of these services. I feel like I have been as blessed or more than you. I appreciate the hospitality that has been shown. More than that, I appreciate the fellowship that we can share as fellow believers. And I invite you, if you get opportunity, come visit us there in Tilly. It's not that far away. We are a large congregation, but we do enjoy visitors. I would like to bring a message this afternoon about the brotherhood. And I know that I have mentioned different things throughout the week on this, and we're probably going to look at some of the same scriptures as we have earlier this week. And yet I'd like to focus our attention this afternoon specifically on the brotherhood. I've entitled the message, Commitment to Brotherhood. And that word commitment is a lot of meaning packed into that. We use that when we talk about marriages, and there's a lot of similarity between the brotherhood and a marriage. But that word commitment, it has the meaning of being promised to. It has the meaning of being separated unto. It has the meaning of a continuing in. So when we talk about commitment to the brotherhood, there is a promise, there is a separation unto, and there is a committing to, continuing in. When we commit to follow Jesus Christ, that brings with it a commitment to brotherhood, a commitment to a body of believers. And it's something that we cannot avoid. It is also something that we don't understand. Why does a commitment to following Jesus Christ also bring a commitment to brotherhood? We do not understand it, but it is God's plan. It's a part of His divine plan for us. Some of the more familiar verses in the Bible, Romans chapter 8, we don't think of these verses as speaking about brotherhood, but I would just like to read verses 14 to 16 and think about brotherhood as we go through this. Romans 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Notice throughout this, it's all plural pronouns. We are the children of God. We are the sons of God. The new birth is a work of God, and built into it is a sense of family. Have you ever noticed you can identify a fellow believer very quickly? Have you ever been going through the airports or something and you see somebody and there's something different about that person? And you start talking to them and you very quickly find out that, yes, they are a believer. There's an energy and there's a binding force, a unity that we share. as the children of God. 1 John 4. Verses 7 to 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Notice that verse. He is saying again, John 3:16. Manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And also verses 19 to 21. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. It is a principle of the new birth that if we are going to love God because of what he has done for us, we need to love one another. But because we are human, that love is tested. And it takes a commitment to love, very much the same as a commitment to love in a marriage. What are the involvements of a commitment to a brotherhood? I have three things that I want to share. A commitment to growing, a commitment to caring, and a commitment to sharing. First of all, the commitment to growing, Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 8. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Note the commitment to Christ in this. There is one Lord, there is one God, there is one Father over all. So that is our commitment to the Christ, and that has to be in place if our commitment to our brotherhood is going to be meaningful. That is the foundational principle. But along with that comes a commitment to brotherhood. One body, one faith, one baptism, and then it ties it together. One God and Father who is above all and through all and in you all. That is the meaning of brotherhood. And in that, there is an expectation of us, something given to us and expected of us. Let's read verses 11 to 16. We've read these already this week. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity, in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the emphasis I want to place on this is when we commit to a brotherhood, we are committing to personal growth in ourselves. Verse 7 talks about everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. And then it goes on to say in verse 12 and on, it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of serving. Where does it say that? Okay, in the Tagalog, that the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ, it puts those two together. It is the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's the work of serving to stabilize the body of Christ. That is a work that we must be willing to grow into. Till we all come, or till we all attain the unity of the faith. And it also talks in verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. And verse 15, we need to grow up into him in all things. And verse 16, it talks about that whole body that is so tightly fit together, you just can't separate it. Every part working together. And that is talking about the need for personal growth in order to benefit the brotherhood. You know, it is the nature of plants to grow. It's the nature of young animals to grow. It's the nature of children to grow. It's natural. If growth doesn't happen, something is seriously wrong, isn't it? If we see our children aren't developing just the way we think they should, we get concerned. Growth happens in each individual part. If any part of the body does not grow, it affects the well-being of the whole body. And if a part does not grow like it should, then we say that that body is handicapped. We can relate that to the spiritual life too. If we refuse to grow, if we refuse to exercise ourselves so that we grow, our local body will be handicapped. There is no block to growth like rejecting help that is given. And if there is a concern shared with us, and I talked about this some this morning, an area pointed out that we need growth in and we reject it, we become stunted, the body is handicapped, and the influence of the body is limited. Growth is not always easy. Sometimes it hurts. It may be a correction, it may be a rebuke. And there's lots of temptations that come with that. I think we all understand that. When someone takes us aside and tells us something, there's something that within us just rises up and, oh. But we have to face it and take it. There is this temptation that these people do not understand. They don't understand the situation, and that may be true. They might not understand everything about it. I was facing something like that once, and I was really struggling with it. And my mom said, you know, it's probably true. They probably don't understand. She said, there's probably 1% right in it. And you take that 1% and use it. Those was wise words. I needed to hear that. It was more than 1% of truth in that. A commitment to a brotherhood is a commitment to grow. The second thing is a commitment to caring. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. He's talking about how the body works together in this chapter. And then he says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And also, going back to verses 18, we'll start at verse 18 and read to verse 26. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And they were all, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, notice back in Ephesians, it talked about the gifts, and it said the gifts are given to the church for the well-being of all the members. And we, as children of God, are one family, we are one body, we have the same care one for another. Even though we are different, we are made one in Christ. If one suffer, all suffer. If one rejoices, all rejoice. And what is the fruit of this kind of caring? Go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 11. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. As we develop a love and a care for each other, it gives the Spirit. We all believe we have the Spirit in our hearts. We talked about that the other night, that having the Spirit in our life is the basis of becoming a Christian. And as we develop a love and a care for each other, it gives the Spirit free rein to work among us and to develop the gifts and to use those gifts for the edifying of the body. The Spirit is given so that each can share. Each one of us has been given something to share, help for each from all. What we have is needed in the church. So what you have is what your brother needs. And there is no brother or sister who has nothing to share. We must be willing to help. I'm not sure if it's in this passage, but in one of these it talks about if the trumpet give an uncertain sound. That's maybe in chapter 14. But the idea is that there is no voice without significance in the body. Everybody has something to contribute, and if we're not doing it as the Spirit directs and as the body requires, how can the body be blessed? This commitment to caring. Are we willing to sacrifice because we want to see our brother grow? And are we willing to give up liberties and perhaps even what we consider essentials for the good of a brother? You know, you look down through these, the last part here in verses 18 to 26, it talks about things. You know, we sometimes tend to focus on the member of the body and not on the whole body. We need to blend that together. You take a member off from the body and it's useless. We often need another member of the body to make it effective. if the foot, in verse 15, the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? It is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. You know, we say, well, I can't do like brother so-and-so, so I'm not useful to the body. Well, if everybody was like brother so-and-so, what kind of a body would you have? We all contribute to that body. Many years ago when we were in the Philippines, I went to visit my fellow pastor. And his daughter, I don't know where she got that thing, but she had a little toy ball. And it was one of these things, it was a clear outer coating, and then the inside just kind of floated free. And the inside looked exactly like an eyeball. And I stepped in the door, and here comes this thing rolling across the floor at me. And it was just perfect so that the eye, the pupil part, was sitting up all the time, you know. That thing was gross. It was horrible. And I thought of these verses. If we think we are the eye, if the body were all eye, what would we think? It's unbalanced. It's not even fit to look at. We need the members of the body together to be effective. Are we willing to contribute our part to the body for the good of our brethren? And that brings us to the next thing. I just want to mention this again. If one member takes the focus onto itself, okay, we take a body, there are natural bodies, and if there's a part of the body that is taking all the substance from the body into itself and not giving anything back out, do you know what we call that? That's cancer. It's when one part of the body takes everything from the body and doesn't contribute anything back. That's cancer. That can happen in the church too, if we do not contribute back. So we have a commitment to sharing. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We are called to help each other on a spiritual level. If there's a brother who is failing, it is our duty, we that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Go to him and help him. Do whatever it takes to help him to overcome his sin and be brought back into the brotherhood. Considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. It's not easy work. It's hard work. And there's all kinds of things that Satan would bring to us to prevent that work from happening. He may tempt us to go into the same thing. He may tempt us to be proud about how we can help people. We cannot do that. In the spirit of meekness, restore such a one, considering thyself. Verses 9 and 10. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Sometimes the help is more physical. Maybe there's things that we can do to help someone at home, or maybe someone is laid up and the church rallies around. And I'm glad we have these practices, but let us not be weary in well-doing in these things. It takes commitment from our lives to put that into someone else's life. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. This is an example of the early church. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And then chapter 4, 31 to 37. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is, being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. They were willing to not only share spiritually and physically, but they also shared financially. And I'm glad that we have this practice, and let's keep it up. Let's make sure. That is probably one of the areas where we probably will be tempted more as we go into the future. There is such a focus on insurance and things like that, and if we can keep ourselves from that and continue to allow our brotherhood aid to work, the Lord will bless us for that. And we can experience this, what this early church did. Because of all the things they did, the apostles had free course, and great grace was upon the church. These things, this is a call to being vulnerable. That's what it takes. We don't like to be vulnerable. Our society works hard not to be vulnerable. But in the church, we need to make ourselves vulnerable to each other. And I give that as a challenge. Become involved in each other's lives and open up your life so that your brethren can be involved in it also. Too many times we create walls thus far and no further, and that does not help the church to have free course. In closing, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. I'll read just verses 13 and 16. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, from whom, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. May God bless us as we do that. Shall we sing our theme song one more time?